Now that God was on the earth and he was here legally, he could intervene now through Jesus Christ. Satan was in trouble now. Now here came the Son of God. And he delivered us from the kingdom of God. He stripped Satan of his power because he was God. He had that authority. God
could not get to Satan directly without violating his word, his authority to man. And there again, that's his spoken word. He could not get to Satan directly without violating his word. His word was that he had given authority to the earth, to the mankind. Authority and power was given to mankind, to this earth, to do whatever they wanted with. It was unconditional. So he could not get to Satan directly. So that's why Jesus came. John 4:26-27 says he execute judgment also because he was the Son of Man. The Son of Man, I said this earlier, but the Son of Man is his physical being, his humanity. The Son of God emphasizes the divinity as God. Jesus existed before the world began. That's in Colossians 6:17. God has in 1 Timothy 3:16. God made a manifest in the flesh. And that's exactly what happened when he was born from Mary as a human being. He manifested here in this flesh. And God did not have authority on this earth until he took on or became a man with a physical body in the flesh. And that's exactly what happened there. Somebody's glasses. Let's go to Mark 1:21. I want to show you something else that I found this very interesting. You know, and I said that I went back to see who else teaches this besides Andrew Womack, and I found probably five people that are absolutely operating in. They're raising people from the dead. The power of the Holy Spirit is operating through them in miraculous ways. I could name the names, and normally I don't name names in churches, but I'm going to do that in this church. Mark Anderson was one of them that said the same thing. Steve Shank from Boulder, Colorado was another one that teaches the same thing. Kenneth Hagin teaches the same thing. There's a couple others too. Actually, Bill Johnson teaches the same thing, the authority that we have. He teaches right along the same thing. So these are some powerful speakers and teachers that are on the earth today that God has revealed his spirit to them, and they're teaching the word of God with miraculous signs working in their ministry. What did I say? Mark, did anybody pay attention? Mark 21, I can't find it in my... 121. Okay, I can't find it in my notes to continue on. I think I turned a page. Mark 121. Yeah. Then he went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Now, why would a demon say that? Why would a demon call out God? Why would a demon reveal God? They're not ones to do that. So why do you think he did that? I'm going to tell you why I think he did that. Actually, Mark Anderson was the one that clued me in on this. "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And see, he called that out. He said, "I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. What are you?" And this demon didn't take into account that Jesus came, that God came as a form of Jesus, as a human being. He now had authority on the earth. The devil, this demon didn't take that into account. And he knew, and he recognized the deity of Jesus Christ. He knew he was God, and he was going, "What are you doing on this earth? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. You have no legal right here on this earth." But he didn't take into account when he spoke this. He did not take into account
that Jesus, that God came legally to this earth as Jesus Christ, as a human being. And now, this demon did not take that into account. Well, he got his lunch ate, didn't he? And Jesus cast him out. Shut up and come out of him. He says, be quiet. But I believe he said, shut up and come out of him. But that's why that demon, they're not the ones to announce. They understand the spirit realm completely. Demons are spirits. They understand the spirit realm completely. That's why he said that. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. There again, I'm saying and repeating it, but saying, you know, you're God. You have no legal right here on this earth. The demon knew that, but he forgot to take into account that Jesus was born of a woman. He was all human. He was a human being. God came as a human being, and now he had authority over him. All right, that's what I wanted to show out of that. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to have to find my place here. I lost it somewhere. John, Mark. Where was? Oh, there it was. Okay. In Hebrews 2:14, it says that Jesus was, you know, he partaked of flesh and blood. We understand that. Now, in 1 John 3:8 says, for this reason the Son of Man was made visible to destroy the works of the devil. And that's why the Son of Man, and he calls himself the Son of Man here, because he was born of a human. He couldn't say the divinity of God, but he was the Son. He referred to himself as his human part. Because he was a human, he could come legally into this earth and destroy the works of the devil. That's in 1 John 3:8. Now, Jesus entered into the devil's kingdom and destroyed it. He took away all his authority and power from Satan. Satan had been stripped of his power. All he can do is tempt us like he did with Adam and Eve. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now this is, I'm going to get into, if you understand, I hope that you kind of get, I'm not a real good teacher, and I'm kind of stumbling here, I understand this, but I hope that you understand what took place in the Garden of Eden. Why didn't God stop the evil? Now we see why. And it actually helps you when you go to minister to somebody. One of the questions is that a non-believer might have, so why should I serve God? And they might say something in the line like this: my sister Mary was raped and murdered by an evil, wicked man, and God did not stop him. Why should I serve God? Why didn't God stop him? Well, the truth is God couldn't stop him because he doesn't have authority on this earth. We do. Now, if we would have been praying and he would have known his authority, the man, whoever, the brother, if he would have been praying over his sister, having praying authority over that, he would have had authority over that. God has given us authority through his word. We're the ones that have authority on the earth. So now you can explain to this guy, why was his sister murdered, raped and murdered? And God didn't stop it. The truth is, you can say, you know what? God couldn't stop it because he's given authority to man. But God still, you know, he loves you so much. It wasn't God that did that. It was the devil that did that, working through somebody. It wasn't God. So much of what we see of the evil and the wickedness that goes on in this earth today, we think it's from God. And we actually blame God for it when it's really not God. God's got no part in it. And we blame God for a lot of things, even, the weather and stuff like that, the insurance company calls it acts of God, the tornadoes and stuff like that. That's unjust. God's not doing that. That came in, tornadoes, high winds and stuff like that. Jesus rebuked the storms, didn't he, when they came in. And so for us to say that God, and that's just the way religion reviews it, views God as, you know, he's the one that's creating all these storms. He did this. This is God. God, why did you allow this storm to hit me? He's not in charge of those storms. It's Satan that's doing that. And we've seen that when Jesus rebuked the storms. Amen. So, that makes it, for me, that just makes it easier to minister to people when they say, you know, why did God allow this? Or why did God do this? Well, God didn't allow it.
He did not allow it. It's because Satan is the god of this world. But now we've been delivered, and I'm going to get into what Jesus did. In Matthew 28, 18 and 20, all power and authority has been given unto me. I now give to you. I'm kind of making a big jump here. I need to fill in that he went to hell. He stripped Satan of all his authority. He went there illegally. And he died on the cross, went to hell, illegally was sent to hell. He was totally sinless. And because he was sinless, he had authority over Satan. And he stripped Satan of his power, took all his authority away from him, except the authority that he is still God of this earth, because we have legally given that to him. That's why Satan is still a threat in this earth today. The Bible says, do not be ignorant of his devices. We've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness. As believers, as Christians, born-again believers, we have been totally delivered out of the kingdom of darkness. So we've been there, but yet Satan is still on this earth because he's still a legal force on this earth, because mankind has legally handed over that right to him. God couldn't take that away from him because we had authority in this earth, so he could not overrule us. Satan is still a threat in this earth. Unfortunately, he is, until he's going to be cast into the pit or until Adam's lease runs out. And well, both of those are going to happen at the same time. So Satan is still a threat here on this earth today. So the Bible says that now that Jesus came in and he legally stripped him of his authority, made a show of him triumphing over, and when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and ascended back to the Father, Jesus glorified him and gave him all power and authority was given to Jesus Christ, and he turned around and gave that to us. Amen. So we have power and authority over Satan. And I'm going to say something else. The only power and the authority that Satan has left right now is the power and authority that we give him. Right. All right, everybody's on board on that one. Thank God. That is it, because he's been stripped of his power. He says, don't be ignorant of his devices. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeing whom he may devour. Who gives him permission? Satan is basically using our power, the power that we gave him, against us. That's what he's using. And if nobody's power that Satan has is through the power of deception. And that's how he gets to us. He lies to us. He tells us stuff. We give Satan inroads into our life through all kinds of different sins. Bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, just bad thoughts, lustful thoughts. These all are inroads that empower Satan in our life. And let me tell you what, it doesn't take but a crack for Satan to get in. And when he does, he gets a toehold in there, and he begins to work. When you open up the door to the devil, he is going to enter into your life. And his purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy your life. But you don't have to deal with that. You've got authority over him in the name of Jesus. Thank God. He's still a force on this earth today. But the only power he has is the power of deception, is lying. The wiles of the devil is what he operates on, just through tempting us with lies and deceitful thoughts. That's the only power that Satan has over us today as believers. We've been delivered out of the kingdom of God. And it's in Colossians 2:15, having disarmed principalities and powers. Then in Colossians 1:13-14, it says, we've been delivered from darkness. And that's the truth as believers. And that's Christians. We have been delivered from darkness. The world who does not believe in Jesus Christ, or who has not confessed Jesus Christ, is still under the power of Satan. But we, as believers, have been delivered out of the power of Satan. Let's go to Matthew 28:18. I want to look at that. So you can see, I hope that you're following along with me. I know right now I usually teach a whole lot better than this, but I guess I'm nervous. I've never held the mic before. That might be what it is. So anyways, you see that God couldn't intervene because he'd given authority to man. Matthew 28, I'm going to try to find that as I talk here. You see that why God couldn't intervene. Why in the world did God not stop Adam and Eve from committing high treason, from turning over their authority over to mankind? Why in the world didn't God stop them? We've seen that because God had given authority to man, unconditionally, it was his. God could not intervene because of the integrity of his word, okay? Then we go right on down the line. Why does Satan have power today? Why is Satan God of this world today? It's because Adam and Eve had that power, and they gave it to, and Satan even himself said, this power has been delivered unto me. It was when Adam and Eve handed over their authority, were tricked by Satan, that's when Satan became God of this world, and he still is to this day. He's not God over us as believers. We've been delivered out of his kingdom, and we have authority over him. Matthew 28, as we just see kind of down the line, that's and that God never intended for this evil to be in this world and to be working, but he can't come in and stop it because he'd given authority to us. But he stops it now through the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. He needs a person to work through. We are the people. We are the members. We are the body. Does the Word of God say we are the body of Christ? That's exactly what it means. We are the body of Christ. So, and we don't realize that a lot of times, that we are the body of Christ here on this earth. He's the head. We are the body. So the head does all the thinking. My body does all the movement and working. That's exactly what we should be doing today. We should be the body of Christ here on earth. And that's what God intended for us to be. Matthew 28:18. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always into the end of time." Now, I can teach really good on this, on the authority of the believer and what took place here. But this, God put this on my heart. He said, I want you to teach this in this body of believers to learn, why did he not intervene when Adam and Eve was committing high treason? Why didn't he stop? And now we see why. It's because he had given the integrity or the power and the authority to Adam and Eve. God's integrity of his word, he couldn't go back on his word. If he did, this entire universe would have flown apart because it's held together by the spoken word of God, the integrity of God's word. That's why he couldn't do this. But now Satan has been dethroned. You know, let's go to this. I want to show you something while we're here in Matthew 10. You know, I wondered, the first time I heard this, I'm going to teach a little bit different here. The first time I heard this saying was, and I don't know, I think you guys believe this in this church, and I'm going to say this. The first time I was driving a crane down the road when I was working for Terry's Crane and Rigging, and I think it was Dave Duwell I heard say this, and he said this. He said, God never told us to pray for the sick. He told us to heal the sick. I about drove off the road when I heard that. He said, God never told us to pray for the sick. Jesus never told us to pray for the sick. He told us to heal the sick. And I'm going to show you what that. Let's go to Matthew 9:35 real quick. And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Isn't that something? Now, let's go to 10:5. These 12 Jesus sent out. You guys, you got to read this. 10:5, Matthew 10:5. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them. Now listen, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the cities of the Gentiles and enter the city of the Samaritans, but go right to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, to the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. These 12 disciples, right? He commanded them to what? Heal the sick. You see that? Now, I skipped over what he said, do not go in the way of the Gentiles, but what was his commandment? To heal the sick. All right, let's go to Matthew 28 again.
I should have had you hold that. This is something God showed me. I've read that. And I said, now why would God do? Why would they say this? Where is this in the Bible? I want to see this in the Bible. Remember, God commanded the 12 disciples. He commanded them to heal the sick. Okay? Now, then Jesus came. Now, then Jesus came to them and spoke to them, and he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and he's talking. You know who he's talking to here? The disciples. He's talking to the disciples. Now, listen to this. He's telling disciples this. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, his disciples, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth, in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. We're the disciples today. Now listen to this. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. That's where these guys are getting this. All the things that I've commanded you, teaching. Jesus told the disciples to teach all nations the very things that I have commanded you to do. Teach the new disciples the same commandments. And that was what? To heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead. You see that? Isn't that neat how Jesus did that? This is way off my course, but this is where I like to teach. This is where I'm at in this teaching and authority. It's almost 8 o'clock and I'm going to finish up with this, but this is the power and authority God gave us. Did you guys see that? He commanded the 12 disciples to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to raise the dead. He commanded them to do that. And then he told his disciples to teach us to do the same commandments that he taught them. It's right there in Matthew. You can read it. You can't deny that. It's right there. That's why you see John's over here. He's licking his chops and rubbing his hands because he knows. He operates in that. He's taking that commandment seriously. And I'll tell you why. He has a revelation of that. And we have sometimes, we need a revelation of what God has actually done for us. You know, I was thinking of Angela here the other day. We prayed for her. She had those two knots, pains in her throat. And, you know, I think it was the next Sunday I come back and said, how's your throat? And she said, you know, I think it was Monday or something like that. They came back. She said, I rebuked them in the name of Jesus, and they left. See, that's taking your authority. That's what we're supposed to be doing. You know, if she could have just as easily have said, you know what? I thought I got healed. I guess I didn't. And if Satan, that would have given an inroad, that's doubt and unbelief. Satan will come in there. He's going to eat your lunch on that deal. She didn't do that. Somebody taught her, or she's seen it in the Word of God, but she exercised her right as a believer and said, no, Satan, I rebuke you. I do not allow you back in, for by the stripes of Jesus I've healed. That's basically what you were saying. She took authority over that. It ended right there. That's where we're supposed to be, operating in that authority. But I thought that was really good. I'm going to read that. Go therefore and make disciples. He's talking to the disciples. I'm going to repeat this again, guys. This is where we need to be. This is why we can do the works that Jesus did. He's given us He said, the works that I do, you will do also, and greater works will you do than these, because I go to my Father. And I'm gonna get off base here. You know, that's an interesting thing there in John 14, I think it is. It says, the works that I do, you will do also, and greater works will you do than these, because of something. The top part couldn't work unless Jesus did something. He said, because. So he had to do something. You know what that was? I'll tell you what that was. He went, when he left this earth, he sent the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, these signs will follow those who believe, and greater works will they do than these, because I go to the Father. What did he do when he went to the Father? You look at Acts, turn to Acts 1:8. I'm going to show you something in Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8-3. Let's try to get there real quick. I know I'm going over time, but right now I'm on something that we need to see.
Acts 1:8.
Everybody there? Look. Look what happens when he sent the Holy Spirit. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in the Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. That the end of the earth means this generation and the generation after us. A generation after us, how long the earth is going to go. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit. That's the power of the Holy Spirit to heal. We can't heal a gnat. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how God works today. He sent the Holy Spirit back. Jesus came. He came legally to this earth. He disarmed Satan. And then, you know, I don't understand how he sent the Holy Spirit now, because Jesus came to this earth, disarmed the authority or Satan, and now he was able to send the Holy Spirit. He came back. He said, I won't leave you orphans. I'm going to come back. He came back into... Jesus lives in us. Do you not know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? And it says here, if you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, you shall receive power. That's the power to heal, the power to raise the dead. We have authority to raise the dead. You know, so we don't think that. We think, whoa, that's a little bit spooky. Not for the Holy Spirit is. Not if you got the power of the Holy Spirit. We should be raising people from the dead, I'm telling you. We've got the authority to do that. But I think that's really interesting when you see Jesus said, told the disciples to teach us, make disciples of all nations, and to teach us to keep the same commandments that I have commanded you, and that was to heal the sick. So, begging and pleading God for healing, you're not getting anywhere. It's like Pastor Chuck said here, I don't know how many years ago, you said your wife was sick, and you got out on a rock up at Terrell Lake, and you cried out to God for healing for a whole day. And the Holy Spirit, I believe you said the Holy Spirit ministered to you, said, why are you crying out to God? And I hope I'm not getting this wrong, but it said, finally you realize that by the stripes of Jesus, we have already been healed. God has already provided that. And he began to just speak out and praise God for the healing, and his wife was healed. Am I right about that? Is that the way it went? Yeah. So, you know, so often we're pleading and begging for God to do something. He told us to heal the sick. I've given you commandments to heal the sick. A lot of us don't believe that. You know, everyone that I have prayed for, and I'm going to tell you this, I'm getting away from my lesson, but this is fun. Now I'm in the fun part. When I pray for somebody, I have never, and I've seen tumors and multiple cancers healed. When I've laid hands on people and prayed for them, I've seen diverticulitis healed. I've seen bee stings, wasp stings healed. Poison, my body was poisoned, healed. I'm missing a whole bunch of them. Her neck. There's the whole list. I'm forgetting. There's so many healings that God has worked through me. And I want to tell you something. Not one time did I ask God to heal them. Not one time. I took authority. I took what was the disciples said, you heal the sick. God has given me that authority to heal the sick. So I take authority over the sickness and disease. When it comes to cancer, I believe cancer is a spirit. I go right after the spirit of cancer, and I curse that cancer, and I command it to die in the name of Jesus. I speak to body parts and make command them to be healed. John does the same thing. That's why I was so excited when I came in here. It's like, where did you learn that? And, you know, he told me about this. And so many people are operating. They have the truth of the Word of God in this body believer. And that's unity is so important in the body. And we see unity in this body. Everybody seems to be believing the same from what I've seen. I'm an outsider coming in. I'm just a visual, just what I'm picking up. Most people in this body of this church, this fold under Pastor Chuck, believes pretty much the same way. And there's unity there. And there's power in unity. That's why you see so much of the Holy Spirit manifested here and working in this body of believers, is because of that unity. Where there's no unity, there's confusion. And God, you've got to create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to work in. If you don't create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit through unity, you grieve the Holy Spirit and he can't work. That's one of the reasons why you see the Holy Spirit working so powerfully in this church, is because there is unity. He is allowed to do. God is allowed to work here because everybody is in unity here to a certain degree, to a big part of the degree. There's a lot of forgiveness among you guys. I've heard it. You know, when John was ministering here a while back, Pastor Chuck was sitting behind me, and John was ministering, and people were just coming forth and they're asking forgiveness. And I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit so powerful through that that teaching that, that John did, and he spoke very few words. It was all through demonstration. Isn't that neat? And the Holy Spirit began to flow, and people began to confess their thoughts against evil thoughts against one another, and they began to get asked forgiveness, and there was such a peace because of that. And do you remember that, Pastor Chuck? He was moving around, and people were just, they were hugging each other. I'm just looking at this, and I could just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going, wow. And Pastor Chuck taps me on the shoulder. He says, Mark, have you ever seen anything like this? And I said, no, not ever. Not ever in a church. And I've been to Kenneth Hagin's church, and the power of the Holy Spirit was moving, but I felt the presence moving. That it was just powerful. And that's what happens when you're in unity with the believers. I really believe that. That's why you see so much of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and correct doctrine. You know, and when you break, God's got spiritual laws. And when we break spiritual laws, there again, the integrity of God's word cannot operate because we have broken a spiritual law. And so we have to stay in line with the word of God. Okay. Do I go on?
It's rock on, brother.
All right. He spoiled principalities. It's just, you know, he... He spoiled, Colossians 2:15, he spoiled principalities and power. And says the same thing in 2 Corinthians. Only in Moffat's translation said, "Only it is not the wisdom of this world or the dethroned power who rule this world." I'm going to read that again. "Only it is not the wisdom of this world or the dethroned powers who rule this world." In Hebrew, I wrote this down for a Sunday school class. I think I'm getting confused in what I'm reading here. In the Williams translation, says that he put a stop to the power of Satan. The New English Bible says that Jesus died so that through death he might break the power of him, Satan, over the believer's life. And that's very true. Berkeley translates, says neutralized or crushed and paralyzed Satan. In Ephesians 1:23 says he is head over all things to the church. We have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. That's in Colossians 13. John 3:8 destroyed the works of the devil. You know, it says, for this purpose Jesus was manifested. I'm reading these scriptures so that you see what God did when he dethroned Satan. This is different translations. He became neutralized. He crushed him. He paralyzed him. That's what Jesus did. You know, Jesus died so that through death he might break the power of him, Satan, over our lives, and that's what he did. And I think it's John 3:8, I think it is. It says that Jesus, for this purpose was I manifested, that I might destroy the works of the devil. Isn't that neat? Jesus said, for this purpose. And I like to say it this way, for this purpose I have come into your world, that I might destroy the works of the devil in your life. Isn't that a better way to say that? But it means the same thing. For this reason, I have come into your world, that I might destroy the works of the devil in your life. And now we have authority over Satan. We have to speak. The Bible says, resist him and he will flee from you. If we don't resist the devil, he can't flee. That's another spiritual law. You can pray to God all you want. Satan, or ask God, God, would you take the devil off my back? He's not going to do it. Why? Because God told us to do it. He said, you speak to the devil. That's a spiritual law. That's just, there's so many spiritual laws in there that we need to follow. You speak to the devil. And so that's what we need to do. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We have to be the ones that are resisting the devil. We think, well, the extreme sovereignty view would say, you know, well, so whatever God, if God wills for the devil to be off my back, then he will be. But that's not what the Word of God says. He says, you have to do something. He's given us that authority. You know, and getting on this healing, and I'm going to quit here in just a little bit, but I got to say this. When you look at the New Testament and how God healed in the New Testament, you're not going to see one time in the New Testament where Jesus, the disciples, or the apostles ever asked God for a healing when they healed? And I'll give you an example in Acts when Peter and John were going through the gate beautiful and they healed let's go to Acts. I'm still in Acts. You guys in Acts? I think it's Acts 3. Sure is. Acts 3, 6. This is how the kingdom of God operates, okay? This is what God has given us. Now, Peter, prior to this, denied Jesus Christ 3 times. He got filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, didn't he? In the upper room. He did. And as soon as he got that power of the Holy Spirit on him, he changed, he became bold. And not only that, when you get filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you get revelation knowledge. God just begins to open up revelation knowledge in your heart, in your spirit. You get revelation of it. Not head knowledge, but revelation knowledge. Then Peter said, and fixing his eyes on him, John and Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." You don't see him. He says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you." What did he have? The power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. So in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You don't see him asking God here to heal, do you? And it's like that throughout the New Testament. You won't see a single place where they ask God, "God, would you please heal?" Where Jesus said, "God, heal." Or the apostles or the disciples asked. They took authority over it. They used the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus to do their healing. And that's an example. Jesus was an example to us, and that's the way we should be today. And that's the way healings are happening all over this world today, by taking authority over them. I'm going to say one more thing. I'm going to finish with this. Jesus, prior to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, did you know that he did no miracles? There's no recorded miracles in the Bible, anywhere in the New Testament, that Jesus did until he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus was all God, but yet he laid down his divinity and became as a man. If Jesus was God, he wouldn't have needed the infillment of the Holy Spirit, because he was God. He wouldn't have needed it. But he was a man. He acted as a man. He needed the empowerment of the Holy Spirit for the miracles to work in his life. As soon as he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, his miracle life began to operate. The miracles began to operate through him. And it's the same thing for us. The same Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus Christ is the same Holy Spirit that's upon us. There's no difference. It's the same Holy Spirit. You will be endued with power, Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, just like it did for Jesus. There's no difference. The same Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus when his miraculous miracle life began to operate is the same Holy Spirit that can come upon us. We just don't know it. A lot of times we're not working, we're not acting on what God has put in us. Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? That Jesus lives in you? You know, it says that Jesus lives in you. That same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that resides in you. It says in Ephesians, it says that. Anyways, I'm gonna quit with that. I went 15 minutes over, so I'm gonna pray real quick, if that'd be all right. Father God, we just come to you, Lord God. I just thank you for your word, Father God. Father, I thank you for the integrity of your word. I know it has helped us in a certain spot, but it also works for us. It works for us, Father God, that your integrity, we can trust the integrity of your word. Your spoken word, you cannot go back on your word, Father God. It is absolute, the truth. We can depend on it. We can walk in it. We can trust it. We can confess it. We can see the manifestation of the integrity of your word. Your word is your word is your will, and your will is your word. That's the integrity of your word, Father God. I thank you for that integrity. I thank you for Jesus Christ, who came to this earth as a man, destroyed the works of the devil, delivered us out of that, out of the kingdom of darkness, who went back to the Father and did not leave us an orphan, but came back, or but sent back the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And we have been endued with the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives now to do the greater works that Jesus did. In my name you shall cast out demons, it says in Mark. Father, we thank you for this power, for the authority that you have given us through your name. It's all about you, Lord Jesus, what you did. You had a plan, Father God, for your people to deliver us out of the kingdom of darkness. We have now authority over the enemy. Let's walk in that authority. Let's realize who we are as children of God and become what you have called us to be, Father God. I pray, Father God, that all this word has become revelation knowledge in our heart, not just head knowledge to where we think about it, but it's revelation knowledge to where we act on it. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.